Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. It's Friday. We got a great show for you. Darren did it again. He just does a great job on Fridays. I mean, he does a great job every day, but Fridays, he just kills it. First hour, we've got Trent Horn. We're going to talk about atheism. If you are an atheist person, if you have a tendency towards atheism, a general inclination in that direction, or you are solidly in that camp, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
And though, this is not why are you an atheist today.
Oh, that's right. So if you're not an atheist, you're welcome to call.
This is answering atheism. So if you, anyone listening, if you have a question about atheism, arguments for and against the existence of God, I always do so many shows where Catholics don't get to talk to me. I want to make it clear I like my Catholic brothers and sisters and my Christian brothers and sisters, whoever they may be, call in so we can chat. So if you have questions about atheism, arguments for and against God, we can chat it out here. It'd be fun.
It's all atheism this hour, 888-318-7884. Next hour, we're going to talk about the book of Genesis with one of the great Bible scholars in the world, Dr. Mary Healy, who knows the Pope. I don't know if you know that. Yes, Nick, she knows the Pope. Have you ever met the Pope?
I did meet the Pope once.
You what?
Yes, I did.
The current Pope, you met the current Pope, or you met a former Pope that's now living in the Vatican?
I did not get a chance to meet Pope Benedict Emeritus. That would have been wonderful.
But Which Pope did you mean?
I met Francis. I met Pope Francis.
You did?
I did.
I did not know. I wouldn't have brought that up.
On our honeymoon, Laura and I were there for Sposi Novelli.
So you wore your...
We wore our wedding attire and we packed her dress and I just bought a cheap suit at Goodwill because, you know, obviously you rent your tux.
Yeah.
So I just bought a cheap suit from Goodwill and like we had it and we were just sitting there. And normally like we'd known people when Benedict did Sposi Novelli, they would all sit there during the audience in St. Peter's Basilica and the Pope would just kind of wave at them and then be on his way. But then they told us, you go over here, like the Italian security and stuff. And we're like,
I know you speak Italian and French.
What's going on? Ah, oui, oui. Yes, I do, but it's very terrible. Oh, so terrible.
This is a digression within a digression, but I know you speak French because I was playing Julio Iglesias singing in French before the program here, and you translated it into English perfectly.
I did translate it. It helps when someone's singing a song you already know.
Oh, you knew the English version.
So that I knew the song.
Right. Fair enough. So tell me about the Pope.
Yeah. So we were there and waiting. And then they go, you go over here. And they pointed to like the middle of the balcony. And then you look out and you see St. Peter's Square and it's just filled. And we're like, why? He goes, you go there, you meet Pope. I'm like, the Italian security guards do not talk like cavemen. They are very articulate people. I'm just sure that's just the English kind of they use with people.
You go there, you meet Pope.
You go
I like
there,
that.
You meet Pope.
Yeah, that's a good sentence.
And then, here's what was hard. So we got in there, but we didn't have like the special tickets we were supposed to have.
Oh my gosh.
Well, now we had reserved it, but we didn't have the tickets with us for some reason. So I told Laura, I'm like, this is like Mission Impossible. We're going to walk in there. We're going to be, just look straight ahead.
Just
like you
look
know
like
where
you
you're
belong.
Going. And here's
look
the
like
thing.
You belong.
If you just kind of dress up in the attire, you can kind of just make your way right up there. And then someone yelled at us. We're like, oh no. And they goes, no running.
Oh, yeah, they do that a lot.
They do that.
When you're
in the Sistine Chapel and you take pictures, no photos, no videos. So then we go and then he walks down and he sees us and I'm like, I wasn't expecting to shake hands with him. So then it's like, what do you say to the Pope when you meet the Pope? You're just like, big fan. You know, what do you...
I didn't know any of this. No, that is so cool. So you met the Pope.
So he comes down and he shakes our hands. Now, we were prepared to meet the Pope. I had gone to, I think it's called Gamarelli's. It's his tailor. His tailor is behind the Pantheon. And I went there and bought one of his zucchettos that he wears.
Oh.
And so I bought it and we had it with us.
And he switched with you.
Well, at first I'm like, it's a gift. And I tried to explain it in Spanish and it was terrible. And like, arregalo, a gift. And he took Laura's tiara, that you know, your bridal veil. He took her bridal veil and said, "How about I take these?" And I just shouted,
"He's
you're
a thief!"
I just shouted, "I was like, you're the Pope. You can have whatever you want." And so, and then we switched, and he gave us his zucchetto, and we gave that zucchetto actually to a priest friend of ours who was very helpful in our formation as a married couple. But here's what happened. I promised God, Lord, I would really like to meet the Pope. And if I can meet the Pope, then I'll even give that zucchetto away to our priest friend because he's such a good guy.
Oh.
And then I meet him. I'm like, should we keep the zucchetto? Oh, yeah, that'd be a bright idea.
The thing is, in the subsequent years since then, because the two of you have been married for several years now, have you ever seen the Pope wearing the tiara?
Oh, the bridal veil?
Yeah.
He did let us. He was just, He was kidding around.
Oh,
he was just.
Oh, he didn't keep.
He's a jovial individual. So, yeah, but that was back in 2013, actually. So it was hard to get in because it was right after the beginning of his pontificate. So
888-318-7884 the number
atheism.
Here. And now back to atheism. Randy in Alberta, Canada, is going to go first. I'm just going to get right to the calls because I know there are going to be a lot of people who want to talk with you about atheism. You can call whether you're atheist or not. Everybody's welcome to call 888-318-7884. Up first, as I said, Randy in Alberta, Canada, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Randy, your comment or question for Trent Horn.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I think we're just here, not necessarily created by a god.
Okay. So is your position that God doesn't exist, or you just don't know if there's a God?
Well, I would say he doesn't really exist, per se.
Okay, why do you think that the answer to the question, does God exist, is no, instead of just, I don't know?
Well, you could flip around and say that maybe God is creator of all life, so that would mean that everybody, whether Mormon, Hindu, Muslim, you know, Catholic, Christians, would be going to heaven. So you could flip around and say, well, no, there is no God. And
that, Randy, that doesn't really answer my question. Like, you seem like not like you're, I don't know, maybe there's a God, maybe there's not, I'm not sure. You seem to, like, be pretty sure that, like, there is no God or God didn't make us. I would think you would need a reason to believe that. So what would your reason be to say no instead of just, I don't know?
Well, okay, I guess you could say I'm not really sure per se, but
okay.
I could flip around and say if there is a God, then God creates everybody, as a Catholic would believe, and everybody be going to heaven, whether Muslim, you know, born into a Muslim family, Hindu, Mormon, Christian, Catholic, you know.
Okay, so Randy, why do you think, though, that if God exists... So you're saying if God existed, everyone would go to heaven anyways?
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. So it sounds like then, so are you saying that if God existed, even people who don't want to go to heaven, who hate God or hate the idea of heaven, are you saying God would make them go to heaven?
I would say that everybody would. If there was a God and God creates everybody, which you would agree with.
Yeah.
So that whether you're born into a Muslim family or Hindu or.
But Randy, Christian. I'm just saying if God makes us, do you think if he's loving God and not just like a tyrant, he would give us a choice whether we want to be with him or not? Wouldn't that be a fair thing for him to do?
No, not necessarily, because if heaven is that great, then if he creates us, he would know that we'd want to get in there. He would know what's better for us.
Okay. Do you think that we should do that in this life? By that logic, if it's okay for God to just compromise our free will like that, sounds like we could do these kinds of things, to our own, our own adult children, or the state could do that to us as citizens. It just sounds to me like under this view, God isn't love, because love should be free. Like if you make someone do something, even if they don't want to, that's not really love, is it? If you're making them do it, it's not free.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with that. Yep.
Okay. Well, I think I would just, I think I would disagree with that, that if God exists, just as 1 John says, God is love. And so because God is love, then he would give us the freedom, just like he makes us, and we have the freedom to choose good or evil. We also have the freedom to choose him or to not choose him. And that's why, as Christians, we believe God died and became man, so that through his death on the cross, he can save us from sin and help us to be united closer to him in spite of our times where we fail and we choose sin, or we choose creation or creatures over the all good and the almighty creator. So I hope that you'll give that a little bit of thought. And then Maybe you could call back again and we could always chat a little bit more, but I think we'll be up here on our first break soon. But thank you for calling, Randy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Randy. Trent said, we are coming up on the first break, but it's a conversation about atheism this hour. If you have comments you'd like to make, whether you are an atheist person or a Catholic person or any other kind of person, I suppose maybe there's something called an atheist Catholic person, but I'd kind of like to talk to that person, see how that works. 888-318-7884 is our number. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Trent Horn is the author of a whole bunch of books, but the one that might come in most handy today is his book, Answering Atheism, How to Make the Case for God with Logic and Charity. Right back with your calls for Trent.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
When I begin my prayer time, I always enter into it with the expectation that God wants to teach me something. And it has to start with my willingness to share my heart with God, not just say words at Him. So whether I'm using more formal prayers or a more conversational style of prayer, I have to bring my heart and my life and my real self to God. And by having that dialogue, we're able to enter into a deeper relationship, and He's able to show me how to use all the events of my life to draw closer to Him.
To Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We're talking about atheism this hour with the man who wrote Answering Atheism, How to Make the Case for God with Logic and Clarity. Whether you're atheist or not, you're welcome to call. Just keep it on topic. Mark in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio, not Salt and Right Radio. You are up next. Mark, your question or comment.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for my call. Do people become atheists only because they hate God and don't want to keep the Ten Commandments, or could there be other reasons?
Well, Mark, I think that people who identify as atheists, they're people. So people have all kinds of different reasons for why they believe what they do or why they don't believe what they don't believe. I have noticed in reading some deconversion stories of people who were Christian and then became atheists, that a lot of them, there was rational doubts, but they were many times precipitated by moral failure, adultery, or other kinds of moral infidelity or moral sins that a person has fallen into and then later tries to rationally justify. So I think sometimes that happens. A person tries to justify a change in their lifestyle. I remember meeting someone who identified as an atheist. At the end of the day, the reasons, it wasn't really the arguments that put them in that direction. It's that they chose to move in with their boyfriend and not get married and were isolated from Catholic friends as a result. But honestly, in my opinion, and when I talk to a large number of atheists, I think the most common reason they give is simply, well, I can be a good person. I have my own moral code that I think makes sense to me. And I don't see any reason to think God exists. I don't see a good reason to believe in God. So I think that's the most common reason people are atheists, is they just think that there's no proof that God exists or no reason to think God exists, and they can live just a fine life that way. So I think that's probably the most common reason.
Okay. So it's not always a hatred of God?
Well, I think it would be odd for an atheist, if an atheist couldn't literally hate God, because that would be an acknowledgement that God existed. I think there's many atheists who would say they hate God in the same way that you might hate Voldemort or hate a bad guy in a movie. You hate this individual and what they represent, but you don't think he's real. So I think if some atheists say they hate God, it may mean that they just hate the idea of God as worshiped by other people. I've met very few, I don't really think I've ever met anybody who identifies as an atheist who says it's because they hate God. I mean, that would be what's called a misotheist, someone who knows God exists but hates God anyways. That's essentially Satan's position. is that a helpful answer?
I think so. Thank you.
All okay, right. Sure. Thank you very, very much, Mark. Let's go to Jerry in New Jersey, watching us on YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us on YouTube Live, Jerry. Where do you come down on the atheism question?
You know, I'm trying to make sure I understand the Catholic take on atheism. I want to see, is there clarity? Can it only be you don't believe that there is a God, or you don't believe that you can justify scientifically a God? Is it a mix of atheism and maybe agnosticism? How would a Catholic define atheism?
Well, there's different ways to define atheism. I mean, when you look at the Catechism, it says, since it rejects or denies the existence of God, atheism is a sin against the virtue of religion. Though it does say the imputability or culpability of this sin can be diminished in virtue of intentions, and even says that believers, because of their bad examples, can have more than a little to do with the rise of atheism. So to define what atheism is, the church doesn't have a strict definition of atheism. It would just say the catechism talks about atheism. The catechism defines atheism as the denial or rejection of the existence of God and contrasts this with agnosticism. And it says that agnostics in paragraph 2127 to 2128 refrains from denying God. He just says that he just makes no judgment about God's existence. And it says that agnosticism can sometimes include a search for God, but it can equally express indifferentism. So the church would probably define atheism, and this is the same definition that has been held in philosophy and history for a very long time, that atheism is, an atheist would say the proposition God exists is false, whereas an agnostic would say they don't know whether the proposition God exists is true or false, and a theist would say it's true. So classically, atheism is the denial or the rejection of the existence of God. God does not exist. Agnostic is when you say, I don't know. But honestly, most atheists I talk to are actually agnostics. They just prefer to be called atheists. I mean, this can get kind of complicated quickly. They would say they're not saying God does not exist. They're just saying they lack a belief in God. But that's not really a claim about the world. It's more of a description of their internal belief. So most atheists you meet will say they're not saying there is no God. They just lack a belief in God. So is that a helpful reply?
So it's more of a, your experience has been it's more of a belief than an acknowledgement, like intellectually. It's their belief that for them, God doesn't exist, like it's limited to themselves, but leaves the opportunity for God to exist for others. Is that what we're saying?
No, I wouldn't say that, because I think most atheists you talk to would say that God either exists for everybody or he doesn't exist. What they would say is they lack a belief in God. They would say people believe in God or don't believe in God, but they would say they lack a belief in God. They're not saying he does not exist, but I think honestly, when you speak to them, I think many of them would say that it's very, very unlikely God exists. Like, you know, it's probably less than like 1% chance God exists. So they kind of deny the existence of God, but they don't come right out and say it, especially atheists who compare God to like Santa Claus or Harry Potter or fictional characters that we would say are not real. And apologies to anyone with their children listening. I always got to watch the Father Christmas references, I guess. How I would put that. And I think it's important that when we talk to atheists, we really understand where they're coming from, because people are all very different, and just kind of use the terms that they're using, but also put forward our reasons to show why we think God does exist and something reasonable to believe in. So I hope that's helpful for you.
Jerry, thank you very, very much. We're talking atheism today. Trent Horn is our guest. If you are an atheist and you'd like to express to us why you are an atheist or make your argument against the existence of God, that's always welcome here. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. But Trent didn't make this show, Why Are You an Atheist?, as we often do it. So just so that our brother and sister Catholics can call, Protestants can call, anybody can, if you're Buddhist and you want to call, go ahead and call 888-318-7884. Lots of people do like to talk with Trent about these things, so go ahead and dial now if you'd like to get in this hour. 888-318-7884. Daniel in Florida, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. You are next. Daniel, where do you come down on the atheism question?
I'm not an atheist, but I have a friend that's an atheist.
Okay, sure.
And I was wondering, how would you explain to an atheist that God doesn't make mistakes, because she thinks she's a mistake, and that's why she doesn't believe in God.
Why does she think that she's a mistake?
Well, one thing is because people told her that she's going to hell because she identifies as a certain thing, and she also blames herself for the death of her grandfather. Mm. So she thinks like everything she does is a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she identifies in a certain way that people say means that she's going to hell. Are you talking about? You don't have to reveal more than you don't feel comfortable, but it. Is this like an LGBT thing or?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And she sounds really conflicted. Like she wants to believe in God, but she feels conflicted and torn inside about this. I think what you need to say to her is that you are not a mistake. You can't possibly be a mistake because God is the reason that you exist. None of us would exist. None of us could exist unless God allowed that to happen. If God did not want us to exist, we wouldn't be here. God's sovereign. He made the whole universe. He has everything. He knows everything that will happen. He's perfect in his knowledge and his goodness and his power. And so I think you should tell her that just, you know, you should be frank with her. God loves you. And if he didn't want you to exist, you wouldn't be here. But you are here because he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. And especially he wants to be there for you when you're carrying heavy burdens. God wants us to carry those. 1 Peter chapter 5, St. Peter tells us to tell God, he tells us, cast all your anxieties on him for he cares for you. And that Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So just you don't need to have arguments or proofs right off the bat here. Just like God loves you, even if you don't believe in him right now. And it sounds like you're really bearing a lot of weight and you feel like it's not right. And you can say, yeah, it isn't right. But I think that when it comes to whatever was involved with her and her grandfather, and I don't know the specifics there, what she needs to seek there is forgiveness. And it sounds like she needs to forgive herself, whether she really did something wrong or maybe she's just beating herself up and it's just something she didn't do. I would just say to her that she should pray to God and pray for her grandfather and pray that he's with God now. And if her grandfather's with God, he would not want her to be living a life of beating herself up over these things. He would want her to grow close to God as well. When it comes to, when it comes to the idea of I have this particular sexual identity, so I'm a mistake, you should tell her, look, we live in a world like God made the world perfect, but human beings messed up and sin came into the world. And so now each of us is born with sinful urges to do things that are wrong, whether it's use our sexual powers, use our sexual urges that are not the right things to exercise at certain times, whether it's to lie, whether it's to blow up in anger at other people. You could tell her, like, you can sympathize, like, hey, I feel temptations to do things I definitely should not do. We all feel that. But God loves us and he wants to give us true happiness and joy in spite of these different temptations that we feel. And she is a valuable person and she is not defined by a label. Like, I don't call people gay, straight, heterosexual, homosexual. We're all children of God with different impulses, different urges, some good, some not good. I would recommend, though, Daniel, that I tell you what, we could probably get you maybe a copy. I would recommend a book for her. Daniel Mattson wrote a great book called Why I Don't Call Myself Gay. And so that's about a guy who came back to the Catholic faith in spite of having these particular tendencies. Why I Don't Call Myself Gay by Daniel Mattson, I would recommend. And just stay on the line and I could probably find some other resources. Get your email. I'll just email you some books that I would recommend. So give your email to our call screener and I'll shoot you a few of those.
Okay, Daniel.
Okay, thank you.
You might have to hang on for a second. The call screener is just in the middle of a call, but just hang on and we'll get to you. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. When you, what listening to that call, how often would you say, and I don't mean this to dismiss the intellectual arguments for atheism, but
yeah, sure.
that there's some kind of emotional barrier there, that how often would you say in your conversations with atheists, there's a matter of something has happened or?
Well, I might have a skewed sample because I probably talk to a lot of people who just are wired in a way to enjoy intellectual argument. So my sample might be a bit higher. The people I talk to are just grappling with philosophical puzzles. But I would say a good number of them are struggling with emotional issues that have made them feel distant from God. I know I was reading a survey about why Catholics leave the faith, and it actually talks about them leaving pretty early, like the median, like the age Catholics start leaving the faith is like 13.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that, a lot of them was questions that couldn't be answered, but like one third was questions couldn't be answered, but another third was felt distant from God because of suffering. I think that's a large number of people.
Trent Horn, our guest, his book, Answering Atheism, is available wherever you can find good books. And we'll take a quick break and take your calls on atheism at 888-318-7884 right after this.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Purvis.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team asks, how do you share your faith with your non-Catholic friends?
Monday morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn in studio with us this hour. Next hour, the really remarkable Dr. Mary Healy will be here, one of the world's great Bible scholars, and we're going to talk about the book of Genesis. So if you have a question about the book of Genesis that you've always wanted to ask, the person to answer it will be here shortly. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. And as I said, our guest is Trent Horn, but our topic is atheism. If you have a question about atheism, if you yourself are an atheist, or if you would just like some to share your take on atheism, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Let's go down to Daniel. We just did Daniel. So we'll go to, sorry.
Well, we have it looks like we have a question that was asked off air that might be helpful.
Okay, we'll go to Sean's then. Sean from Atlanta asked this, can you explain the proof by Aquinas for God's existence? Yes, I can. Trent?
That sounds like a deference rather than an explanation, but that's quite all right. Sean and other people who are listening, one of the proofs for the existence of God would be the Thomistic proofs. It's more proper to call them a series of proofs, because Aquinas, in the beginning of his book, the Summa Theologia, if you read the Summa Theologia with this in mind, you start not to feel super smart. At least I don't. I do. Because people say this Summa Theologia was written for beginners. It was like the introduction to theology. And then you start to read it and you're like, this is the introduction. Okay. So at the beginning, Thomas does not put forward a very rigorous proof for the existence of God. He more provides a summary of saying, well, we know these are five good ways to know that God exists. Well, first he answers the question, is it obvious God exists? Can we just know God exists from reason alone? And Thomas says, no, we can't do that. So he rejects like Anselm's ontological argument that you could know God exists purely by the term God. But he does think you can reason from effects in the world to a cause that would ultimately be God. And so the proof for God would be found in reasoning from these causes. So Aquinas offers five proofs or five ways. A good summary of them can be found in Aquinas for Beginners by Edward Fazer. Fazer has another book called Five Proofs for God. It's not Thomas's five proofs. It's like five of Fazer's favorite proofs. So if you want just Thomas and his five proofs, I would recommend Fazer's book, Aquinas for Beginners. So that book, and in there, the basic thing is that there are causes that we detect, and they can't go back infinitely, at least for the first proofs, that there are things like change that occur, and we can demonstrate this, that change happens, but ultimately this series of changes, or this series of causes, or as the third way says, this series of contingent things can't be infinite in nature, and so there has to be either a necessary cause, an uncaused cause, or a first mover, something that is pure act that causes change throughout the rest of the universe. And so Aquinas shows this, and then you demonstrate the divine attributes from these arguments. And then the fourth and fifth ways, the fourth way proceeds from seeing that there are things that are greater and lesser in perfection in the world, and then following that to the ultimate source that would be pure goodness itself, which is God. And the fifth way would be kind of an argument from design, not one like, oh, the world's really this thing is really complicated, so it couldn't have evolved. Aquinas' argument is more there's order and regularity in the universe, and that points towards something that gives a final cause or a direction for all the order and regularity we see. Now, of course, we could do a whole show just on the five proofs, and this is a very cursory summary. So if you wanted to go into that more, I would recommend Fazer's book, Aquinas for Beginners. Another good book I'd recommend is by Matt Frad and Robert Delfino. It's called Does God Exist? It's a Socratic dialogue on Aquinas' five ways by Matt Frad and Robert Delfino. So I'd recommend that. Oh, and also, Cy,
yes.
If people like Matt Frad, which they should, he's a wonderful Australian bloke, I'm on his podcast right now. If you go to Pints with Aquinas or go to the Matt Frad YouTube channel, the most recent episode with me just dropped, actually. So it's gone live, and guess how long it is?
How long is it?
Could take a guess. How long do you think the episode is?
3 hours.
Nope.
53 minutes.
3 hours and 53 minutes?
Just for 53 minutes. That's my final guess.
Oh, 53 minutes?
Yeah.
It is actually 3 hours and 56 minutes.
Is it really?
Yes.
You and Matt Frad just going off.
We just went at it now, to be fair, we were able to take a break 3/4 of the way through because Matt's dog came into the room and like ran over a bunch of stuff and we had to get him back outside. But otherwise, yeah, it was basically, we took like a 5-minute break, but it was basically a 4-hour interview on God, sexual ethics, Christian apologetics, why believe in the papacy, why should we be Catholic in this time of turmoil, covered a lot of topics. Super happy with it. If you want to check that out, go to YouTube and just search Matt Frad or go check out Pints with Aquinas. The episode just dropped. 4 hours of goodness with me and Matt Frad. I think people will like it.
That sounds really good. We do the Focus podcast here in addition to your podcast, and we're trying to grow it. And so Thomas has been helping us with social media. So I said, Thomas, what can I do to help you, you know, with the social media to help grow the podcast? And he goes, make a good podcast. I found that somewhat hurtful. Stephen in Nebraska, you're next in our conversation about atheism. Your question or comment for Trent Horn.
Yes, thank you once again for taking my call. I am a youth minister here at my parish at Prince Peace, and I do middle school and high school and then confirmation. My question is... just resources that I can have for myself, for youth, who might be either questioning the existence of God or might even bring a friend who is, you know, an atheist. So just like my question is like resources that I can have for them.
Yes.
And, you know, just answers that I can have for them if I can.
Sure. The book I would recommend, Stephen, that you get copies of my book, Why We're Catholic. And if you stay on the line, I will send you a free one and then a link where you can buy a whole box of 20 of them for $60. Because I think what would be helpful is that if you had a middle schooler or a high schooler, and this book was written high school age up for reading comprehension, like any high schooler or a motivated middle schooler could read this book and get a lot out of it. And I wrote it specifically so that you could give it to anyone who's not religious. Because if you just gave a book written for Catholics to an atheist, it would kind of sound off or maybe off-putting. This book was written for people who aren't Catholic. So stay on the line and I will get you the link. And I would just keep those around. And then if you had people who come to your event who are not religious or either not Catholic, they're Protestant, they're atheist, whatever it may be, you've got something easy you can hand to them and say, hey, you know, why don't you read this? And then you could always come back next week and talk about it. So I would recommend having that book on hand to give. When it comes to resources for, like, let's say addressing your students on the topic of atheism, I was a consultant for curricula for LifeTeen. LifeTeen is a middle school program called EDGE, and I was a consultant for them on their EDGE curriculum on atheism. It's great for middle schoolers. And so I would recommend that. And so I could send you a link to that. That's great for middle schoolers. And they have some resources on that topic for high school as well. If you're addressing all the teens, if you just have one or two you want to reach out to, I think the book would be helpful. So is that a helpful direction for you to go in?
Yes, for sure. We are actually a subscriber to LifeTeen, and we do the EDGE and LifeTeen programs.
Oh, good.
In our parish.
Yes.
So I just haven't looked that far into atheism.
Yeah, but EDGE, I just helped EDGE make a program, and then LifeTeen should have some stuff. But yeah, give your email to our call screener. I'll get you some of that, and we'll help you out. It'll be very good for your students. So,
thank you very, very much for the call, Stephen. And thank you for what you do in helping to educate young people in the faith. It's absolutely vital work, and we try to be supportive of it wherever we can be. That's where the rubber really hits the road, and it means a lot that you do it. Look who's here, Trent.
I know.
The president of Catholic Answers,
Chris
himself. Hi, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Really good.
You know, another great resource, especially for young people with respect to the belief in God question, is the first in the series of the graphic novels that Catholic Answers did. The truth is out there.
Yeah, the truth is out there.
We'll send a copy of The Truth is Out There to Stephen as well.
Yeah. Okay?
That is aimed at that whole graphic novel
audience. So we'll send a copy of The Truth is Out There. It's about two intergalactic explorers. I think it's Mulder and Scully. No, I'm just kidding.
They're mailmen. Aren't they mailmen?
They're like couriers.
Yeah. Right. Chris is here. I know why he's here, because he comes here.
Because we're going on an intergalactic river cruise.
An international river cruise.
Okay, you're
certainly.
Right.
Certainly. It's going to involve Switzerland, France, Germany, and the Netherlands down the Moselle and the Rhine. And it's the whole ship is a Catholic Answers ship. Everybody that got a cabin is coming for this Catholic Answers kind of mobile conference that we're going to be doing on the ship.
Can you imagine?
There's like a few cabins left.
Eight.
That just sit there. Okay, well, that's nothing.
The
whole ship is sold out and there's eight cabins left.
Three went away over Christmas, so there are only eight left.
Yeah.
Si, can you imagine what a great idea for a vacation / pilgrimage, right?
No.
An elegant ship.
Yeah.
All to ourselves. Not too big a crowd. I think this ship holds about 140 people. And Si Kellett is going to be there, the host of Catholic Answers Live.
Now, that kind of talk is not going to sell the last eight cabins, but this is Archbishop Salvatore Corleone.
Salvatore Corleone, the Lionheart from San Francisco.
Yeah, he's going to be there.
Right. Monsignor Eugene Morris from St. Louis, and yours truly, and Si Kellett. Hey, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
You were with us on the Rhine 2 years ago. No, not the Rhine.
The Danube.
Yes. And it totally changed your life, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
See?
Why don't you pause there?
It certainly changed. It was in a different direction. No, what I loved about the river cruise was that it doesn't feel like a cruise because you're not on the ocean. I remember, you know, sometimes you're out on the ocean, it's kind of up and down, but it's just calm.
You don't feel hopeful.
You don't feel anything. So if you're worried about like seasickness, River Cruise is your best bet. It's awesome.
For example, if you're worried about the boat sinking, you can just swim to the edge.
Don't ever mention sinking when you're trying to. What is wrong with you?
You know, the whole time
we were on the Danube, the boat did not sink.
When you watch Downton Abbey, before that comes on, Laura Linney does a little advertisement for these river cruises, and they're like super high end. Yeah. So are we in that category?
We are at the higher end.
Higher than Laura Linney's Downton Abbey.
I don't know what kind of line she uses, but Viking is Viking, they're like the middle. Oh, yes. This cruise line that we are using is better than Viking.
Yeah. I do want to say one of the things that always stuck with me with the river cruise, I don't know if you're going to encounter these a lot going on the Rhine, but we went through, I think, the largest lock on the Danube. Ships don't go super well, like, uphill, really. It's like, how do you get up in elevation or water?
Water doesn't really go uphill either.
Yeah, right. It takes a lot of work to get water to go uphill. So the lock. Yeah, so the lock is essentially just an elevator, and the boat goes in and it closes behind you and it fills up and it gets you going down the river. And we went up one. It was basically like we went up 50 feet in like...
Wow. They are marvels of engineering. Yeah. And by the way, the edge of the boat there, you're right there against the walls of the lock. It's very exciting. Yeah. The name of the cruise line is Uniworld.
Yeah.
And they are several steps above Viking. They're quite elegant and but not stuffy. And the name of the ship is the River Empress. And we are going June 9 to 19. And in addition to this, we're going to have a couple of days in Zurich beforehand that are optional, if you wish. And Archbishop Corleone is going to hang around after the cruise. And we are going to hang out in Amsterdam for a couple of days and go see all the great Rembrandts and Rubenses.
Yes.
And all those. This is going to be a wonderful trip. So daily mass, opportunities for confession. We'll do some masses on shore at some of the most magnificent shrines in Germany. We'll see Hildegard of Bingen.
Yeah.
We will see the Three Kings. Did you know the Three Kings went to Copenhagen?
I don't think they went to Copenhagen. I mean, their bodies
are in Copenhagen in the largest reliquary in the world.
You go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com to find out all about it. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. You can get images of the ship, Uniworld's River Empress, and all kinds of information there. And you can sign up to go on the cruise with us because there's only 8 cabins left.
Let me ask you a question, Si. Is everything pretty much included in this cruise?
Everything is pretty much included.
All your beer, your wine, your food.
What about sodas? What about if you wanted a Diet Coke?
So if you want a Diet Coke, it is included.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
All of that. Port transfers, port fees, all the... The only thing that's not is you got to get over there. Once you get there, we'll take care of you.
CatholicAnswersCruise.com. You can call the cruise authority directly at 844-277-6602. Or as I said, visit CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to ewtn.com/wings, fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends, and pretty soon we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Hi, this is Si Kellett. Don't forget to check out the latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. You can listen each week to the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, now available at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking atheism with the man who wrote the book, Answering Atheism. Whether you're atheist or not, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We go down to John in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio 102.7 FM. John,
your take on atheism.
On atheism. Okay, well, I'd just like to say I have just become an atheist. I used to be a Catholic. I was listening to the atheist community of Austin, Texas. They got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of valid points. So here's my question for y'all here. It seems to me that the burden of proof seems to lie on Catholics and Christians. But, you know, every time that's brought up, you know, it seems like Catholics and Christians, you know, they say, well, you can't prove that God doesn't exist. So I'm a little bit lost why we have to, why atheists have to prove that something doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. You're the one making the claim that God does exist.
Yeah.
So where is your proof? Where's your physical, tangible evidence? I mean, I understand there's plenty of testimony, but, you know, people make a lot of stuff up. So thanks for taking my call.
Okay, well, John, hopefully you won't go off the line too quickly. I agree with you that when someone says they're an atheist and asks a Christian for evidence for God, it's not really appropriate to just start right out and say, you can't prove God doesn't exist. I believe that the burden of proof lies on whoever makes a claim about reality. And you can make a claim about a positive claim that something does exist, or you can make a negative claim that something does not exist. So would you agree that the burden of proof lies on whoever makes a claim about reality?
I mean, if you sit there and analyze it scientifically and you can prove your claim, if you can actually prove your claim, well, you know what I mean? You get where I'm going with that?
You can't prove your claim. Okay, well, no, John, I'm backing up a step. I'm just talking about the burden of proof, that it lies on anyone who makes any claim about reality, whether they're a Christian or an atheist. If you say reality is a certain way or is not a certain way, then you have a burden to justify that claim. Does that make sense, how anyone, that would fall on anybody who makes claims?
I guess that's the way it works in court.
Sure, and that's the way it works just in life, or just when we're reasoning about whether things are true. If you say the world is or is not a certain way, you're making a claim. So when it comes to atheism, whether atheists, so I believe that, sorry, let me back up. So when Christians claim God does exist, they make a claim, and so they have a burden of proof. And there are atheists who are like this. If an atheist says God does not exist, that atheist has a burden of proof to claim, you know, why should I believe God does not exist? Much the same way that if somebody said there are no aliens in the universe, I would say, well, why should I believe that? I would like to hear reasons, as opposed to just saying, well, I don't know if there are aliens in the universe or intelligent extraterrestrial life. But likewise, I think there are many atheists who will say, I'm not saying there is no God, but they'll say things like there's no proof for God, there's no reasons for God. If you say that, if you say there's no good reasons to believe in God, that is a claim. And I would say, why should I believe that? And then I think an atheist should explain. Maybe they could say, well, here are the best reasons Christians put forward, and here's why they don't work. But if you make a claim there's no good reasons to believe in God, a person who makes that claim has a burden of proof, right?
I see where you're going with that, but religion has caused many wars. It kept people in poverty. And the number one thing, as far as me being a former Catholic, I have to say this, when it comes to abortion, Catholics are actually making the problem worse.
Well, John, can we go back a little bit? I don't think these are related to what we're talking about. And, cause I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. It sounds like you're kind of getting into an argument that because a belief system may have bad consequences, that means it's not true, but that doesn't follow. People have lots of belief systems that can lead to good and bad consequences. Let me think back to what you said. You said, for example, well, religion has caused many wars. Would you agree that land, the ability to own land, has caused many wars?
Well, I'm sure, yes. People fight over land quite a bit.
But
they happen to be religious.
The most major conflicts in the 20th century, were they religious or not?
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I think if you ask most historians, they would say World War I and World War II were geopolitical conflicts about resources and land distribution and political leadership. They weren't wars about religion. But I think my point about land, I brought that up, is you agree people fight over land and land and resources have been a cause for most conflicts throughout human history. But that doesn't mean land or resources are evil or bad things. Also, isn't it the case when people look at the like bad things associated with religion, since the vast majority of people, like 99% of people in the history of the world, have been religious, won't it follow then that nearly all bad things have been done by religious people just because there's so many of them?
You know, I'm going to have to take a step back here myself here, and I'm going to, I don't understand, you know, why you're defending these people, why you're defending these positions. I mean, you know, you don't have proof that there's a God.
How do you know that?
People.
How do you know I don't have proof? You haven't even asked me.
Because you would have already proven it, wouldn't you? You would already brought it to everybody's attention. Am I wrong?
Well, theists have put forward evidences and reasons and proofs for the existence of God, and people disagree about those things. Do you think that the only way we can know something is true is through scientific evidence?
It seems to be a proven method here on Earth.
Is it the only method?
I mean, I don't know any other method, do you?
How about reasoning? To say that you start with something you observe to be true, and you use reason, and that leads you to a conclusion. Well, why not? Isn't reasoning a good way?
Not scientific. Is that not scientific?
Science is a particular application of reasoning. So we do things like we make testable predictions about experiments. But there's things we believe that aren't proved scientifically. For example, do you think it's a fact that science is important?
I would imagine it is. It's very important, yeah.
Can you prove that statement scientifically?
Well, I mean, scientifically, you know, I'm not an expert, but I'm going to point to the medical sciences that we have that have solved a lot of problems.
And so then, but that's including a statement, something is important if it solves our problems. Why should we believe that's true?
Because this is a problem.
What I'm saying, John, is that when it comes to ethics, there's a lot of things that people disagree about that can't be resolved scientifically. So if you, anytime you want to say like science is important, a normative or value claim, science is important, we ought to do this, you ought to do that. Science tells us what things are, but it can't tell us how we ought to live our lives. That's a question that ethics or philosophy has to answer. So if we try to say that the only proofs that we will allow are ones that are scientific, we can't scientifically prove that. That's a value judgment that's being made. And it really restricts our epistemology or our ability to find out what's true. So I tell you what, John, I appreciated talking with you, but we're almost at the close of the hour here. So if you stay on the line, our call screener can get your information and I can send you a copy of my book, Why We Are Catholic. And you could always read it and you could always call back if you have other questions. But I appreciate you calling into a Catholic radio show to engage us in questions. But I think that there is more to it, and I hope that you won't simply write off religion as something that's some kind of a, you know, with these kind of common atheist tropes, like religion's been the cause of most wars and conflicts. That's actually not true. Land and resources have been.
I think marriage has been.
Probably of most interpersonal conflicts, yes. Yeah. So saying that, that'd be like saying, I don't believe in sports because look at all these riots that fans do. Yeah, there are some fans who riot, who do really bad things when their team wins, but that doesn't mean sports in and of itself is a bad thing. Religion is just man's response to God. If God exists, it's rational to respond to him. Some people will respond poorly, others will respond well, and we should judge a belief system based not on its worst consequences, but on its best arguments.
Thanks very much, everybody called. I'm sorry that we got a bunch jammed up there at the end and weren't able to get to everybody, but Trent's a regular, so you can call back and talk with Trent another time. His book is Answering Atheism. Thank you very much, Trent. Really enjoyed the hour.
Glad to be here.
As always. Mm-hmm. Up next, Dr. Mary Healy, we're going to talk about the book of Genesis. If there are things in Genesis you'd like to explore with a Bible scholar, hang on.